Throughout the ages, God has raised up wonderful songwriters and worship leaders and people who write songs, who wrote songs for us that we can sing in church and that help us to focus on God and see God, who He is and what He wants to do and work in our lives. And this morning we have the privilege of having a friend here, a new Mosaic friend. His name is Tim Hughes. I used to tease always when we were working, so now his name is Tim Hodges. So, sorry Tim. Tim Hughes, but it's wonderful having him here. He's from London, and he's from a church there. He's the music leader there, worship leader, music director, they call him there. And he's been there since 2005, and been worshiping God there. And he writes the most beautiful song. This beautiful song we sang this morning, Here I Am to Worship, was a song written by him. Let's thank him for a beautiful song that helps us to focus on God. Tim, as you come to the front, I would love you to look at his shoes. He brought me some with as well, so next week you'll see me in the same shoes. He's loving the sun in South Africa. It's amazing to hear what God is doing in worship and how He's working in various churches all over the world. And this morning it will just be great to hear your heart. Fantastic. And what God is doing in your heart and worship. Thank you, Tim. Welcome.
Hey, thank you so much. Yes, when I left London, it was snowing. And the only shoes I packed in my suitcase in a hurry were flip-flops. I kind of forgot to pack shoes, so I spent the week in flip-flops. But it's amazing to be here. What a fantastic church, and what an amazing leadership team. And thank you so much for the honor and privilege of being able to share briefly with you this morning. And I want to talk about worship. But I want to talk about worship in terms of the way worship transforms and changes us. As we draw near to God, He draws near to us. And in Christ, we are freed up. We are liberated. Put simply, to worship is to change. When we encounter Christ, we never remain the same. And as we are changed and transformed and freed up, we become a people that bring about change and freedom in our culture and in our world today. Now, I wonder how many of you have ever experienced the feeling of being trapped, contained, hemmed in. A little while ago, I was in some meetings at our offices in London, and we had a meeting at the top floor, and I had to rush down to a meeting on the bottom floor, and I jumped in the lift. I pressed the ground floor button, and the lift began to go down, when suddenly, everything stopped, the lights went out. And so I pressed the ground floor button again. Nothing happened. And after a while I thought, gosh, I'm going to have to press the alarm button. And actually I began to get a little bit excited. You know, I've never pressed the alarm button in a lift. What was going to happen? So I pressed this big yellow button, waiting for alarm bells to explode into action. But nothing happened. And I was beginning to get more and more agitated. And I eventually got hold of a friend, a colleague, who was also in the building, and said, I'm stuck in this lift, help me. And he managed to get hold of the company that kind of maintained the lift. And the message came back that they would send a rescue team, but it would take them 3 hours to get there. And at that point I thought, oh my goodness, I am going to die. And I began to panic. I began to feel that the oxygen was leaving. I was like, oh, I'm struggling to breathe. And then I was like, oh, I'm so parched, I'm going to pass out with dehydration. And then I remember thinking, oh my goodness, what a humiliating way to die. You know, I've read these books, I've studied these amazing missionaries, men and women of faith who gave their lives on the front line of mission, heroes of the faith that we celebrate today. And I was forever going to be known as that random bloke who died in a lift in London. Well, eventually, after a while, the lift just began to shake a bit. And suddenly, bing, the doors opened and I stepped out into the freedom of safety. So many of us, if we're honest, are aware of perhaps prisons we're living in or pressures we're living under. But you know, as we worship, as we spend time in God's presence, He changes us. He frees us. And He begins to show us all that he can and longs to do in our lives and in our places of work, study, where we live. In 2 Corinthians 6, verse 11, Paul, writing to the church in Corinth, he says this. I'm actually reading from the Message translation. But Paul writes, Dear Corinthians, I can't tell you how much I long for you to enter this wide, open, spacious life. We didn't fence you in. The smallness you feel comes from within you. Your lives aren't small, but you are living them in a small way. I'm speaking as plainly as I can with great affection. Open up your lives. Live openly and expansively. Now, Paul here, speaking to the church in Corinth, is aware of the pressures and the culture they're living in. Corinth was a fast-growing city. Economically, culturally, it was really moving places. You know, business leaders vying with one another. Social climbers trying to get one up the ladder. And much perhaps like the world we live in today, image was everything. The great leaders and the great orators of the day, they lived their lives by this following motto. The greatest defect in a person is to show their humanness, for then a person ceases to be held divine. Basically, the message of the day was don't mess up. Don't show weakness. Don't show vulnerability. This is the time for strong, gifted, beautiful people. And sadly, this way of thinking had infiltrated the church. And the church was trying to do things by impressing others. In fact, the people had begun to question Paul's apostleship, his ability to lead. They questioned his communication and his eloquence. And a thread running through 1 and 2 Corinthians is Paul saying, no. You know, God's strength is made perfect in our weakness. He says, yes, I will boast, but I'll boast about my sufferings. In effect, he says to the church here, when we live our lives trying to imitate the world around us, trying to live our lives by the values, the trends, what the world says we should do, we actually live our lives small. Compared to living our lives to the values of God's kingdom. And so he says to the church, you know, we didn't fence you in. The smallness you feel comes from within you. Your lives aren't small, but you're living them in a small way. Justin Bieber. Any believers here this morning? Baby, baby, baby. Okay, about two. Justin Bieber, Beyonce, David Beckham, Charlize Theron, however gorgeous, beautiful, famous they are, their beauty and fame doesn't even come close to comparing to God's beauty and fame. The iPod, the iPad, the iMac, however brilliant the design, the creation is nothing compared to the wonder of our Creator, God. Obama, Cameron, Zuma, however much power they have at their disposal, it pales into insignificance compared to the power of the Almighty, everlasting God. When we live our lives comparing ourselves to those around us, to the world we live in, we live our lives small. There's so much more for us. And in worship, our eyes begin to open up. All that God has, we begin to see differently. You know, in worship, we begin to become shaped. You know, often I think it's a question of shape or be shaped. The pressures on us in society and our places of work and our friendship groups are so strong and they're constantly molding and shaping us. But actually, when we gather together this morning to worship, when we spend time reading God's word, when we spend time in prayer, spend time with friends just talking about who God is, we begin to allow Him to shape us to who He intended us to be. And as He shapes us, we begin to shape culture around us. Rather than being molded by culture, we begin to shape culture. What Johannesburg needs are more and more churches that will shape culture and say, this is what life can look like. This is what life in all its fullness is like. And that's why I believe in our worship, having space is so important. Space for God to break in. Because we live at such a pace. You know, for so many of us, we don't even know what it's like to feel bored anymore. In any spare moment, we're either on our mobile phones or iPads or whatever it is. You know, we're getting texts, phone messages, emails, Twitter. We've been poked left, right and centre on Facebook. Researchers in London researched into email addiction. Now, email addiction is when you're constantly checking your phone for emails. Or another sign of email addiction is when you imagine your phone is vibrating in your back pocket and you pull it out and you see that, oh, there's nothing there. You imagined it. And they actually discovered that an addiction to email was more damaging to your cognitive abilities, to your brain, than smoking marijuana. Email addiction is more dangerous than smoking a bit of pot. And if you do the two together, you are in all sorts of trouble. We live at such a fast pace. Life, and I love modern technology, and it's amazing to be in a church where you see it being used to the glory of God. But the more ways we have to connect, the more ways we need to learn to unplug, to allow God to break in, to allow God to shape us. And you know what happens in worship when we allow God's space? Well, one of the amazing things, you know, in worship we come to give glory to God, but we do so in response. You know, worship is a response. We worship because God first took a step towards us. It says that, you know, we love because He first loved us. If you want to grow in your expression of worship, then allow God to reveal His love for you. When we create space for God to break in, one of the first things He does is just to reveal the depths of His love for us, His passion for us. I have a friend called Shane. And Shane spent much of his early life in prison. And actually, for a season, he was considered to be one of the five most deadliest prisoners in the English prison system. He spent much of his time in solitary confinement. He often would attack prison wardens, try to stab one of them. So a very violent, messed up individual. And one time he was out of solitary confinement on a ward, and a prison chaplain came up to him and said, look, I don't ever do this, but I really feel God has told me that you need to come and do this Alpha course in the chapel. Now the Alpha course is a simple course that explores the meaning of life and explores what it is to be a Christian. And Shane was totally scathing of this, but he thought, well, the chaplain provides free coffee and free biscuits, so I may as well go. And he went along, and during this course he began to hear about Jesus' love, about the possibility of forgiveness, about the possibility of a new life. And as the course progressed, they got to a moment where he prayed this prayer. He said, Lord, I hate who I am and who I've become, but would you come into my life? Well, there began a chain reaction of events that transformed his life. He's now out of prison. He's fully passionate about Jesus. He's working for a church, and actually he spends most of his days now going back into prisons to tell people about Jesus' love and the power Jesus has to change people's lives. When we allow Jesus to break in, we capture a sense of His love, and we find a new sense of our own identity. You know, if you're anything like me, we spend so much of our lives going around just being bombarded by different images. You know, billboards of these amazing, beautiful, toned, tanned people. You think, gosh, okay, I've got to look like that. Or we're so aware of, you know, we live in such a consumer culture, you know, oh, I've got to have that latest gadget. And for a lot of us, We spend so much time comparing ourselves to others. And if only I had that friendship group. If only I lived in that house. If only I had that girlfriend. If only I drove that car. If only I could do this, gifted in that way. And what we're doing when we're constantly comparing ourselves is we're becoming smaller and smaller. We're shriveling up. But when we allow God to break in, when we allow God to speak to us, when we understand something of His love, we begin to rise up. Rather than thinking, oh, I'm useless, I'm a failure, we begin to think, I'm a son, I'm a daughter of a Heavenly Father. I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. The same power that raised Jesus from the grave lives in me. We are more than conquerors. Christ in me, Christ in us, the hope of glory. And we begin to stand a bit strong, to walk a bit more boldly. As God shapes us, we begin to live differently. And you know, the amazing thing that happens is we begin to see people change around us. When suddenly our identity isn't caught up in how much money we're earning. You know, when our world is being rocked, perhaps by the death of a loved one or a serious illness or just a really tough season of life, suddenly we can experience it and walk through it with a hope that sustains, a joy in the midst of the pain. And people are like, what is that you have? Where's that love, that hope, that trust, that confidence, that assurance coming from? I need a bit of that. When God breaks in, He reveals His love. In worship, we've been singing about it this morning. Yes, some of the songs I didn't understand what they're about, but I'm hoping they're about Jesus. We're singing about His love. We're reminding ourselves about what He's done for us. So in worship, we allow God to reveal His love. Maybe today, some of you this morning, just need that fresh reminder that you are loved, you are chosen. God has a plan and a purpose for you. That you may feel trapped, but God is wanting to free you up. The second thing I think that happens in worship, and when we give space for God to move, is that we begin to hear His voice more clearly. As we read God's word, as we spend time in scripture, we capture something of who God is, His heart, His character. We read and understand a sense of our calling, our responsibilities to live today. But you know, God is always speaking, always wanting to meet with us, to do life with us. And I love this bit in the passage where Paul speaks of just longing for the church here to enter a wide, open, spacious life. And I think, again, something of what happens when we worship is like our eyes are open to see, perhaps with something of God's eyes, to see things differently. A couple of days ago, we were in Cape Town and we got to go up Table Mountain. And you know, when you stand at the top of Table Mountain, the view is totally different. The perspective you get is totally different from standing at the bottom. It's amazing. And I think that's an amazing picture of perhaps what God is often doing in our worship as we spend time with us. It's like He's lifting us up to the mountaintop and saying, look, see what I'm doing, see where I'm moving. Get a bigger picture, almost like an eternal perspective of this moment in time. And for so many, we can miss what God is doing because we're so busy. We live at such a pace. And often we spend our lives doing our thing. And our prayer is, God, bless me. Bless what I'm doing. Bless my work. Bless the things I'm involved in. Maybe God is wanting you to say, God, may I bless what you're doing. So often we get involved in this amazing activity, but sometimes we get caught up doing our ideas rather than being involved in God's ideas. Just have a look at this picture. It's a picture of a bridge. This bridge has been built at great expense. Huge amount of engineering time has gone into it. Huge cost so that people can cross from one side of the river to another. But there's a problem. The river has moved. And what we're left with is a human-made, redundant, ultimately useless bridge. Perhaps that could be a picture for some of us. We're so busy doing our thing, not really mindful of Christ, hoping that God's going to bless us. And we look at all the activity, all the outreach, all the programs, all the things we're doing, and we think, God, look at this. Look at this amazing thing. And we look at it and suddenly we realize God's river has moved. The Spirit of God has moved on. And actually we're just involving ourselves in human initiation and activity. Where God is perhaps saying, no, look, see, begin to understand what I'm doing. Bless what I'm blessing. Move what I'm moving. When we live our lives responding to what God is doing, suddenly we see so much more breakthrough, so much more blessing, so much more abundance. Often we get exhausted just trying to do life in our own way and sort of trying to include God in there somehow, rather than allowing God to be at the very center, like a GPS system to program the destination in our hearts. In worship, we come back to the place we're saying, it's all about you, Jesus. Where you go, I'll go. I will follow you. I will follow you. So as we grow in what it is to be a people of worship, as we spend time looking to Jesus, enjoying his presence, we find that we change. We become consumed with his love. We live free. Maybe some of you today, you're caught up, addictions, struggles, pressures. God wants to bring you freedom. But as God frees you up, he enables us just to see something of what he's doing, to hear his voice, to understand afresh. And then we can live our lives seeing God bring about change. Bring about transformation in our universities, in our places of work, on our media outlets, through business, through education, through medical research, through design, through dance, through it all, that God would change this culture, this society, this country, and he'll do it through us as we give our lives to worship him and allow him to use us. I want to close by singing a song, and it's a simple song, and it's a prayer really, that God would come and be involved in our everything, all that we are, all that we do. That worship involves our everything. It's not simply what we do when we gather on a Sunday. Worship is our response, our all-consuming response to God's all-giving love. And as I sing this, just encourage you, just to spend a moment, just to ask that God would come, break in, reveal his love, that you might begin to hear him speak to you again, and that he would fill you up and send you out to be good news, to demonstrate and to live out his love this week in all that we're involved in.
God in my watching, God in my waiting, God in my laughing, there in my weeping, God in my hurting, God in my healing, be my everything, be my everything, be my everything. My everything. Oh, Christ in me, Christ in me, Christ in me, the hope of glory. You are everything. Christ in me, Christ in me, Christ in me, the hope of glory. Be my everything, 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 be my everything. Christ in me, Christ in me, the hope of glory. You are everything, you are everything, you are everything, you are everything, you are everything.
Ons sit net so, ons doen 'n gebed saam. Father, we thank you for this wonderful opportunity of just hearing these beautiful words. Words that encourage us to invite you into all areas of our lives. Today we see you as our Father and as our God. We see in our eating, our sleeping, in everything we do every day. And we thank you for being there. Thank you for being the God in our lives. And we thank you for our brother. We bless him today for what you've called him to do. And may the songs that he writes go throughout this world and touch people. But most of all, help people to see you and focus on you. We thank you for him and his ministry. In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Mag in hierdie week voortdurend bewus wees. Want God wat vir jou sê, jy is my geliefde. Amen.